able to use our sound system for men's camp. Those messages are online, by the way, now. So, again, thanks to Andy's work. But we figured out that we had the sound system a little bit too close to the campfire. And so the past 2 weeks, this headset has smelled like smoke. And so what's been interesting about that was I was kind of doing some fire and brimstone type sermons about how God is more than willing that if you're disobedient to send you to hell. So that was quite the quite the reminder. And this week, it's not a fire and brimstone sermon, and it smells just fine. So kind of some funny irony there. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. To this end, also we pray for you always that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, in order that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Great and glorious Heavenly Father, I'm grateful and thankful for the calling. Father, I'm grateful and thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for the vision that you have for us, Lord God, that you really want us to focus intently on you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to start out this afternoon by asking, how's your view? How big is your perspective? I remember, it must have been somewhere between 5 and 7 years ago now. I'm not quite sure how long. I have a buddy who lives in Seattle. And so a few of us wanted to go to the NCAA regional there in Seattle for the first round games. And I had never been to an NCAA regional, and I haven't been to one since, though. Hopefully I can change that at some point. It was a good time. But what was great about it is I got to see the buddy, and actually got to see Matt Wilson went, and another friend of mine from high school was there as well. And I hadn't been to an NCAA game, and I wasn't in charge of the tickets, right? And let's just say the perspective of the game changed my paradigm about the game, because we were not close, okay? We were not close. We were kind of economy shoppers, right? And we just wanted to be in the door for the game. And as we were in the door for the game, we were about, you know, we were on one far side of the court, and we were way up. Okay, and so there, when the action went to the other side of the court, you were kind of guessing what might have been taking place on the other side of the court. Didn't have a great view of what was actually taking place, and so it confirmed for me that the way that I like to absorb my sports is through a large TV at my home. That's my favorite way to view live sports. Our perspective really matters. And our lives are going to be most effectively lived with a view towards Judgment Day always in mind. This actually fits perfectly with what Jeremy was talking about in Sunday school, that a lot of times the distractions can be really loud. A lot of times the distractions can be really prevalent in our lives, and the distractions can make a big difference. And what has a tendency to happen is that people lose track of the fact that Judgment Day is a reality. We've been talking on Wednesday nights about false doctrine. And one of the things that I like to point out sometimes is that a lot of the people who are teaching the false doctrine, they actually know that they're teaching false doctrine. Now, a lot of the people that are taught false doctrine, they don't have any idea that it's false doctrine, right? But a lot of the people that are teaching false doctrine, they know that it's false doctrine. And the question becomes, like, how could you do that? How can you get there? And one of the things that I'm convinced of is that they really do forget the fact that there's going to be a judgment day. don't really want to think about that. And so you can kind of put yourself in terms of the world. If from the world's perspective, the benefit of the lie outweighs the benefit of the truth, they're going to go with the lie. But that's not taking into account the fact that there is going to be a judgment. And so if we lose sight of the fact that Jesus is coming soon, compromise and convenience can take preeminence instead of Christ and character. If we lose sight of the view that Jesus is coming soon, compromise and convenience can take preeminence instead of Christ and character. So our perspective determines our priorities. How big is our perspective? What is the view from the throne? I appreciate the fact as well that Jeremy pointed out about 2020 as a whole. There's been a lot of things that we didn't even know that we had to think about, right? Like, I didn't know that I had to think about how to properly wear a mask, or I didn't know that I had to think about all sorts of things that now, you know, apparently we have to think about. But one of the things that, and every 4 years we have the most important election we've ever had, right? Every 4 years, then every 4 years it's the most important election we've ever had. But, you know, no matter who wins the presidency, Jesus is still king. And the view from the throne really doesn't change based upon what Fox or CNN says. There's no breaking news in heaven. And so we want to share that view from the throne and then prioritize the things that are important from the heavenly perspective. You know, if God had a news channel, what's he running on that news channel? And then how can we make that important in our lives? And so in verse 11, it's kind of interesting that it starts out to this end. Well, what have we just talked about? We've just talked about the fact that there's going to be a judgment. And the fact that there's two groups of people, those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel, that are going to pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. We need to recognize that that is a real and present reality. That is going to take place, right? That there is going to be a judgment day, and Hades is going to be turned over to the pit on that day of judgment, that's a real thing. And so to this end, also we pray for you always, because he cared about them. He cared about the Thessalonians, and he wanted them to make it. And so we have to keep this perspective in mind. And as those of us who are in Christ, that we're going to be counted worthy of our calling. Well, what does that mean exactly? Well, certainly there's a call of salvation that we choose to respond to. Let's just hit a couple of scriptures on this just real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Timothy 1, 9. Start in 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. And then also 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. Looking at 1 Peter 1:10, I was wondering why that didn't look quite right. Okay, 2 Peter 1:10, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. So you have this, there's a call to salvation that you choose to respond to, but accompanying the call for the sinner to be saved is the call for the saved to now be righteous. Accompanying the call for the sinner to be saved is the call for the saved to now be righteous. And we're counted worthy through Christ. Only through Jesus do we have the opportunity for justification. Only through Jesus do we have the opportunity to practice righteousness. For by grace you were saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, that no one may boast. So if God doesn't shed his blood for us, we don't have any hope. Right? If he doesn't live the perfect life, if Jesus does not live the perfect life, if he does not give himself for us so that we might be reconciled back to God, we're hopeless. Okay? And so through Jesus, we have the opportunity for justification. That is, through Jesus, we get to have his blood applied to us. And now, because of Jesus, okay, our sins are washed away. Because of Jesus, there is a new creative act that takes place in the waters of immersion. Because of Jesus, now we have the opportunity to practice righteousness. Because it's his Spirit who comes to dwell inside of us. We're cleansed by his blood. We're indwelt by his Spirit. What is it that we have to be tripped up by? What is it that's going to stop us from practicing righteousness? But if we don't have Jesus' Spirit, what's man's record for practicing righteousness? Man's record is you don't. You don't. So it's only through Jesus that we can have justification, and it's only through Jesus that we can practice righteousness. So there is a call for the sinner to be saved, that is, for the sinner to be justified, and there is a call for the saved to now be righteous, all through Jesus Christ. And there is a call to righteousness that you choose to respond to. Just like you choose to respond to the call to salvation, you choose to respond to the call to righteousness. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. See, this is why it's not just some theological point or some sort of earthly contention about whether a Christian's potential is what Jesus says that it is. It is actually of significant importance, because if we are to say that a person cannot be perfect as Jesus is perfect by Jesus' power, we're actually demeaning and diminishing what Jesus did. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. So we're to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. You know, you take a look at somebody like, or a congregation like the Corinthians, right? They had been called, they had responded to the call of salvation, but how are they doing in responding to the call of righteousness? How are they doing in responding to that call? He said, you're still fleshly, right? And so it's important for us to recognize that, yeah, there's a call to salvation that we need to respond to, but there's also a call of righteousness that we need to respond to on a continuing and an ongoing basis. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling with which you have been called. God is making us worthy of that calling. Again, this is all happening through Jesus Christ, and we are to walk in that manner. And let's think about God making us worthy in two respects. Number one, who is it that transforms you? Right? Who is it that changes us into the image of Christ? There is no human effort, human work, or human ability that can make you look one iota more like Jesus' character. It's going to take the Spirit of God along with your belief or your faith. There is our participation, that is our faith, our part, but it's only possible through God's part. Secondly, he is the one who will judge us to be part of the knowing and obedient as opposed to the ignorant and disobedient. He is the judge and the one who will ultimately declare, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." So therefore, wherever we're at in this process of becoming more like Jesus and having our character transformed into his image, if we are living and walking by faith on a daily basis, he is the one who covers any gaps in that performance, right? So that's why from the second that you're dripping wet, immersed into Jesus Christ, to the point where you're consistently practicing righteousness, you're still saved. If you die, you still go to heaven. See, this is not a works-based thing, but rather this is Jesus who is making you worthy. And Jesus makes you worthy all the way through, but he begs you to engage in the process. He begs you really to do your participation, but he's making you worthy of our calling. And so if you go back then to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. Fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. First, I think one of the things we have to ask ourselves is, what is it that we desire? What is it that we desire? You know, we desire adventure, travel, good job, stability, health, financial security. No, those things are necessarily bad things, but when we think about our desires, what is it that comes to our minds? What do we really desire? What do we care about? Again, this fits. Think, you know, I think Jeremy's talking about earlier, what are we distracted by? Where does our attention run to? Is that how you said it, Jeremy? Where does our attention run to? What are we thinking about? What do we care about? You know, our time will tell us a lot about what we actually care about. What occupies our mind will tell us a lot about what we care about. Do we care that the Word of God be spread rapidly and be glorified? Do we care that the light of Jesus be seen in our lives? Do we care that we're the type of people that our children can imitate? Do we care that we're setting our kids up to exceed ourselves? What's our desire? Because God wants to help us fulfill the desires that are pleasing to Him. God wants us to have those desires, but a lot of times you'll see, you know, it's kind of funny, these, I don't have Instagram, but I think it's more popular on like an Instagram than it is on a Facebook or something. You'll see this verse that's like taken out of context and taken from some obscure version, right? And it's like, the Lord wants you to have all the desires of your heart. And the idea is like, if you'll just, you know, these health and wealth preachers do that sort of thing all the time, right? It's like, just invest a seed into my ministry. And it's like, whatever, man, right? Like, we know what that is, self-serving, right? Well, God is not into giving us our self-serving desires, but the Lord is really interested in helping us fulfill the desires of our heart that are pleasing to Him. It's kind of like, you know, God works things together for good. Well, who's good? Who's good? And if we trust in His good, is that our good too? Yeah, absolutely. And so we want to desire the things that are good, not the lust of the flesh. God doesn't play these little, health and wealth preacher games, okay? He doesn't adhere to your rules. You adhere to His rules. We don't set up ultimatums for God. You know, we see that in the movies all the time, right? You know, I'll live for you if you give me health, or I'll live for you if you give my kids health, or I get a job promotion, or a job change, or a new boss, or if you change the preacher, or if you make the preacher more interesting, right? Like, God doesn't play those little ultimatum games that we see happen all the time in the movies, you know? But, you know, what God wants to do is God wants to fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. We live for God and understand that all things work together for good, and we have our perspective changed to the perspective of the throne. God's desire is for faith to be lived out. You know, if we go to Ephesians 2 real quick, I quoted it earlier. And so after that section that I quoted there in verses 8 and 9, the next thing that comes up is in verse 10, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so God's desire is for that faith to be lived out. We know from the book of James that a lived out faith, the natural product of that is works. Are they works of the flesh? No. Are they works of the law? No. What are they? They're works of faith. That faith lived out, produces works. We're equipped for the work of what? Service. Service of God, service of others. That's one of the things, really being a Christian is about being his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Looks different for each one of us. We have the same goal. We have the same purpose. And each one of us contributes to make sure that that goal and that purpose gets accomplished. And so God's desire is for faith to be lived out, and good works are a result of that faith. And so that's where it's the process that produces the results. It's the process of living by faith that produces the results of good works. So the challenge for each one of us becomes, how do we just love the process? How do we love the process of living by faith? How do we make that an adventure? How do we really accept that instead of trying to, I got to work harder. I got to do better things. How do I live by faith more today? Because it's able to, if we go back to their 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the verse finishes out, and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. How much is able to be accomplished through the work of faith with power? Our God is the one who on day 4 spoke into existence the sun, the moon, and the stars. When we think about that amount of power, when we think about the things that aren't even mentioned there, the sun and the moon and the stars, right? Now, there are all sorts of galaxies out there that we don't even know exist, right? Galaxies. And they don't even get mentioned. It's like, oh yeah, they're part of the stars, whatever. Right? Our God is the God who, with the word of his power, creates the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all of those other galaxies are not even worth mentioning. On day 4, speaks it. That's the kind of power that our God has. Oh, and yeah, the New Testament makes it really clear the type of power that God exerted in creation is small compared to the power that God had in raising Jesus from the dead. New Testament actually makes that really clear. Okay? And so, in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 11, when it says, and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, how much, if we are living and working by faith, can God accomplish through his power in us? You know, something like, I think it said somewhere in my Bible, exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. I don't think that's one of those Instagram made up fake versions. Right? Because there's a lot of power there. And God wants that power to be turned up in our lives through his Spirit working together with our faith. So can we believe enough to activate the power that's accessible? Is that going to result in some good works? But it's not like, oh man, I really got to try. mean, how hard do you think God tried to create all the galaxies? So if that power is then manifested in us, again, that doesn't mean that it's not going to be tiresome sometimes for us. It doesn't mean that our bodies aren't going to get weary. It doesn't mean that we're going to have to give 100% of the effort that we have. The point is that it doesn't land on you. It lands on God. So let him worry about it. Let him take care of it. Trust him. In verse 12, it says, so that Jesus, in order that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is glorified and our glorification in Jesus. In the name of Jesus being glorified through our lives. Again, how can we glorify the name of Jesus through our faith being lived out? How can that happen in our house? How can that happen starting with us individually, expanding out to our house, going into our community, and expanding from there? That the name of Jesus might be glorified in us. How can the world see Jesus glorified through our love? Okay, we want to make sure that we're having the love of Jesus be seen by the world. And really, you know, the love that we have of the brethren and the love that we have for the lost is really the same love. There's no separating that love. You don't have one type of love for people here and another type of love for people out there. It's the same love. And we have to realize that love can be a little bit dangerous sometimes. Because, you know, there's within love there's opportunity for rejection, right? Within love there's opportunity to be hurt. But to protect ourselves and to not love is to rob ourselves of the very thing that the Lord wants from us. So yeah, sometimes love can be a little bit dangerous. Over the 4th of July, they're doing sparklers in the backyard, and Ember was intrigued. So we were helping her with the sparklers. Now, you kind of had to think about that a little bit because, you know, the ultra-safe thing would have been to say, look, you know, aren't they pretty, but let me hold the sparkler, right? I mean, she's only two, right? So, like, maybe I should just hold that sparkler. And the irresponsible, completely unloving thing to do would be to give her the sparkler and to say, okay, good luck. Don't burn yourself, kid, right? So I had to kind of figure out, okay, what can we do here a little bit? You guys have a sparkler story too, don't you? Be careful. So kind of had to figure out, okay, how can we take her hand, right, and still have that so that she's able to have the sparkler, and there is certainly a little bit of danger there, okay? But yet, what are we doing? We're guiding that. We're directing that. And so, you know, we showed her. And when she was able to see it, when she was able to experience it, then she started to understand how the sparkler looked, how it worked. And then she could experiment with a sparkler as she had some experience with it, and she started to really absorb what that was like. Well, a lot of times that's how the gospel spreads. People observe our lives. They see something attractive. They ask questions, and that gives us a chance to take them by the hand and demonstrate the true joy that can be found in Jesus. But if they don't initially see something that's attractive, a lot of times you don't even get the initial question, right? So as we live out our faith on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a yearly basis, let's make sure that our perspective is right. Let's not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. See, the Lord wants us to see things from the view of the throne, and to realize that giving Jesus glory in our lives is a lot of fun. It's a good time. Okay? Jesus being on the throne is really what it's about in our lives. And our love for others really spreads through that. And it's all according to God's grace. And this is all coming from Jesus. Without Jesus, we're in a whole heap of trouble. With Jesus, with the view of Judgment Day, we can say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. So we can look forward to the fact that Jesus is coming soon.
Let's stand up.